Hello, everyone. This is Cal Bannon's Hypnosis, Etc. I'm sitting in for Cal today. I'm your host, L. Ron Ferguson. If you're watching this anywhere else but CalBannon.com, you want to take a look below because we have special goodies and text links that'll make this a much better video to watch. So you want to go there. If this is your first time watching the show, this is the show where we try to move the profession forward and bring excellence to the profession by giving away free hypnosis training, by really providing value to you, giving you tips and tricks, information that you can use right away to become a better practitioner. So, now that you're watching, I want you to think about how much sleep you got in the last 3 days. And how's that been affecting you? Has it been a lot of sleep or not much sleep? Because that's what we're going to talk about today. Sleep and sleep hygiene and how to position yourself as the obvious expert when dealing with clients who are coming to you for sleep issues, and also just a few tips, things that you need to suggest to them to make sure that they get a better night's sleep, regardless of the quality of work of hypnosis or hypnotherapy that you're doing with that client. So picture this. You're staying up until 4 o'clock every night for a week. You think it's fun, but it's not really fun. It starts to just make your life slip through your fingers after a while. Well, that's what happened to me, and it took me a while to reset my circadian rhythm. This happened a long time ago when I had another life bartending and gallivanting around. But doing shift work in the nightlife will definitely affect someone's sleep cycle permanently, and without the right suggestions, as well as some good adjunctive hypnotherapy, they can be stuck in a bad sleep cycle, and it throws off your hormones, throws off your nervous system, throws off your mental process, and everything else like that. And so the main reasons that we really want to help people with sleep issues is because, obviously, it's the foundation of health. Everything goes in a handbasket somewhere if you don't get enough sleep. Everything starts to go off balance. Your relationships go off, and everybody around you notices if you haven't had enough sleep, especially on Monday morning. Also, dealing with sleep issues is a very lucrative market, and it's also a good marker of success on about how well you're doing with your hypnosis. If someone comes to you for another issue, but one of the symptomatic issues that is going along with whatever issue they're coming to see you is that they don't have good sleep, that's one of the first things that you want to check to make sure their sleep cycle is returning to normal. I know that Dr. Ron Esslinger always checks. One of the first things he wants to do is make sure that their sleep cycle returns to normal, so that's a very important thing to do. Also, when someone has a good night's sleep, it's almost like nature's best therapy. We do therapy in other ways, but it's a built-in therapy for yourself, where your subconscious mind reorganizes itself. Not only the events of the day, but past events, future worries. It'll start to reorganize things and give you a better foundation when you have that dream state, when you have that REM state, when you go in and out of a deep sleep cycle. It makes your body heal and really reorganizes the subconscious mind fully and completely. And also, we need to really get rid of the myth that high-functioning people don't need a lot of sleep. That's a myth. Let's not fall victim to the availability heuristic. That's just because you can think of an easily, readily available example proves that it's true. It's a fallacy. High-functioning people need as much sleep as anyone else, and really high-functioning people get a lot of sleep. They get a good 8 hours of sleep. I know that news anchors know the value of a good night's sleep, especially if they have any longevity in the career. So file that away in your brain. Know that for yourself, and also know that for your clients, in case they have a limiting belief in that arena. One of the ways to start off with a client and position yourself in the right light is to ask the right questions. Obviously, aside from the information that I'm sharing with you right now, you want to know what a good sleep cycle is. You want to know what you're talking about when you ask them how much sleep they're getting. You want to find out things like how much they sleep, when they fall asleep, when they wake up. What kind of insomnia do they have? Do they have trouble getting asleep, or do they have trouble staying asleep? Or do they just wake up really early and not get enough sleep? Or do they wake up very easily? Or do they have trouble just getting back to sleep? Or do they have all those things in a really, you know, disgusting psychic hairball? You want to find out what that is. That lets the client know that you're interested, builds rapport, but it also lets them know that you know what you're talking about. Also, when they start to see you, you want to explain to them, or before they see you, you want to explain to them what a good sleep cycle is. That it's not simply just being asleep all night. For instance, if your client's on medication, all they're getting all night long is just a type 2 sleep. It's just this flatline sleep cycle all night long. When in fact, your sleep goes in a wave pattern. It goes up and down all night long through type 1, 2, 3, and 4. And when you're in type 4, your serotonin gets balanced, your norepinephrine, your human growth hormone gets released into the body. The body actually regenerates itself. The lymph system clears in type 3 and 4 sleep. None of these things happen in type 1 and 2 sleep. And most sleep medication has a basis, the compound that's in the benzodiazepine family. And that means that, you know, like Valium, it just kind of retards the brain, slows it down, and makes you think that you're asleep. So psychologically, you go, oh, I slept all night, I must be okay. But physiologically and neurologically, you have only gotten type 2 sleep all night long, so you haven't got that actual healing that comes from a good night's sleep. Because sleep is not about rest, it's about what happens in type 3 and 4 sleep, neurologically and physiologically. So you want to share some of that information with your client and know what that is. Have that in your mind, once again, so that you know what you're talking about with your client. Also, what's important to realize is that if they are on sleep medication, what are their plans? Do they plan to get off or reduce their medication? If a client's on sleep medication long term, they're never going to have good sleep. After all, most of the time, 99% of the time when your client sees you, one of their goals will probably be to get off of their sleep medication because it has a half-life, makes you feel groggy, you have to depend on it. Another thing is you want to ask them how long it takes to get to sleep. A good rule of thumb is that if it takes a person under 15 minutes to fall asleep, you're sleep deprived. Also, you want to ask them how long they've had the problem. Sometimes they've had the problem a long time. It's kind of like a chronic problem, okay? And other times it can be induced by some type of event, and then they got on medication, and then the problem exacerbated itself from there. Or it's just been sort of a recent thing, and they're desperate. This tells you how motivated the client is, but it also gives you a better understanding of how their mind works and what kind of insomnia they have. And because the suggestions that you make to them on sleep hygiene, which I'll get into later, will be very important when you know what kind of insomnia they have. You know, trouble getting asleep, broken sleep, trouble staying asleep, or trouble getting out of bed. All those things are a combination thereof. So, let's say you have the client. They come in, and you are starting to do the interview. And when you're seeing a sleep client, aside from being a great hypnotherapist, doing the best job possible, finding the root cause of the problem and neutralizing it, you want to make sure that you're giving them suggestions for their sleep hygiene and finding the weak parts in their daily routines so that they can start to change those things. Because you can do a lot of high-quality work, but if they still do stupid stuff around sleeping or around their habits about sleep, the problem might manifest itself again, even at a low level, just because we are human beings tied to our physiology. Yes, there is a mind-body connection, but you don't want to do stupid stuff like, you know, look at really high-intensity light late at night. You're not going to fall asleep no matter how much hypnosis you do. So one of the first things you want to ask them about is, you know, what their diet is like. And by diet, I mean, are they taking any drugs, cigarettes, or alcohol before bed? Obviously, there's other parts of that diet that are important, You know, if you know anything about nutrition, you might be able to suggest that they have certain types of carbohydrates before bed that might help them get to sleep. But you want to have them limit their intake of any type of alcohol before bed. Because, once again, no matter what kind of stuff you do, if a person has a bottle of wine to get to sleep, your body will go into withdrawals at 3 in the morning, and you will wake up. You will wake up because the body needs that alcohol, and getting back to sleep after that can be difficult. So make sure that your client isn't drinking themselves into a coma. Also, you want to keep in mind that nicotine is a stimulant. If they smoke a lot of cigarettes at night, that might be contributing or exacerbating the problem. And of course, no caffeine after 5 o'clock is a really good rule of thumb. No caffeine after 4 is even better. But you want to ask them about how much caffeine they're using, because that might be overstimulating them and making it hard for them to fall asleep. And so, you know, sometimes you can really kill two birds with one stone. By addressing the sleep issue, you can also help them with an alcohol issue, inadvertently maybe. But if they refuse to change the alcohol, your success might be hindered by that. So keep that in mind. From time to time, I'll say keep that in mind. And by that, I'm saying put that in your brain. Just put that right down there in the vertebra. File it away and just fuse it in there. And maybe it'll come out when you need it most. So we have diet. Another thing that you want to look at is what quality of light they are exposing themselves to, late at night or during the day. It's been proven that light stimulated to the back of the knee will kill the melatonin in the body and wake you up. Okay, so people sleep much better in the dark. It's only because of the scientific advances that we've made in the world that we are even able to see anything, or there's any light after the sun goes down. The human being is wired to go to sleep when the sun goes down. That's the circadian rhythm. Night owls are made, not born. There's no such thing as a night owl. That's a myth. You can be conditioned to become a night owl over a period of time, but the circadian rhythm wakes up and goes to sleep with the sun. And so the quality of light that hits the retina will make the body temperature rise, waking them up or keeping them aroused whether they like it or not. And so you want to make sure that they're not staring into the television. Some people fall asleep watching the TV. Bad, bad, bad idea. Some people look at their iPhone, or, I mean, not me, but they look at their iPhone late at night, and that quality of light will hit the retina, or they stare in the computer screen late at night. You want to make sure that they're, you know, suggest to them that they allow themselves to be in a low-light environment during the evening, that they start to turn the lights down. Being under fluorescent lights late at night or high levels of light is very jarring to the nervous system, and it's only going to keep them more aroused. Also, you want to make sure that they can expose themselves to bright lights as soon as they wake up in the morning. That'll help to raise the body temperature, arouse the nervous system, and kill the melatonin in the body so that they can be more awake, more alert, and feel as though they've had a better sleep than they may have actually had just from the quality of light hitting the retina. That can be just as good as any coffee, so you want to take that into consideration. Also, back to the whole body temperature thing, you want to make sure that they're not exercising too late at night. That will cause your body to, once again, become more aroused. Your nervous system becomes more aroused. And while the body temperature is too high, it'll be very difficult to fall asleep. At 3 o'clock in the morning, your body temperature is the lowest that it can be, which is why you shouldn't be gallivanting around at 3 in the morning, because your organs should be resting. Very low body temperature. And that's why we sleep at night. Our body temperature crashes. The highest points of body temperature are after you get up between about, you know, 7 and 11 in the morning. You have a post-lunch dip where the body temperature crashes again. That's why you get sleepy after lunch. And then it rises again about 5, 6, 7 o'clock, and then starts to fade away down again, allowing you to sleep at night. However, with people's lifestyles these days, you will from time to time have, you know, a semi, functional job where you kind of you know, are under low lights all day. You won't really be, you know, use a whole lot of energy. Your body temperature will never really peak enough in order for it to crash. And so you can suggest that they exercise more during the day, but not at night, because that'll just wake them up. One good way to get the body temperature to fall is to suggest to your client to take a really, really hot shower and then have it end with a cool shower or maybe even a cold shower. This will help the body temperature peak so that it can fall and crash, letting them get to sleep at night. And obviously, you want to make sure that the quality of or the type of temperature in the room is low enough where they can fall asleep at night. People can be conditioned to fall asleep when it's sweaty down south, wherever you are. Okay, I used to do it all the time when I lived in Texas. But if they're not used to it and the weather variates, like it does from time to time in California, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's hot, you want to make sure that they put that in their brain and take that under consideration, because if they're too hot, it'll be difficult for them to sleep, especially if they have a partner that sweats all night. You want to make sure they have their own space so their body temperature can fall so they can get to sleep. My number one tip for today is that you tell your client and make it a rule, not only for them but for yourself, to never, ever, ever look at the bedroom clock. What does that do? As soon as you see the bedroom clock, especially if you're type A, you start to calculate. Well, gee, how much time do I have left to sleep? What's it going to cost me? Oh, I got to get up in the morning. Oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? So never, ever, 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 ever look at the bedroom clock if you wake up during the night. If you happen to wake up during the night, don't look at the bedroom clock. You got to hide that sucker. Okay? Have them bring the bedroom clock into you. Keep it in your drawer. Give it back when their insomnia goes away. Some people will be resistant to that idea, but that's very, very important. You know, in this respect, ignorance is bliss. And so without letting them have any anxiety, even though we're helping them emotionally as much as possible, don't let them look at that bedroom clock, and that will help them have more of a peace of mind as they start to sleep better. Another thing is that you want to make sure that you tell your client to get up at the same time every day. This is good sleep hygiene stuff. You can Google sleep hygiene and find more about this information, although what I'm doing today, I want to be as comprehensive as possible. You, the hypnotherapist, need to know this. When you get up at the same time every day, you're more likely to have a better sleep cycle. You don't want to have Sunday night insomnia, which is where you go out, tie one on Saturday night, you stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning, and you wake up late on Sunday, like noon, you roll out of bed, and then you wonder, gee, why am I not falling asleep on Sunday night? And then you wonder, oh, why do I feel so bad on Monday morning? And then since you feel so bad on Monday morning, you have kind of a semi-productive day, maybe don't go to the gym that day, and then, oh, well, gee, what happens Monday night? Oh, well, gee, I have a hard time getting to sleep on Monday night, and then the cycle starts. That's how people get sleep problems in the first place, is they do things like that. And so even if you go and tie one on, get up at the same time the next day if sleep is an issue for you. Every once in a while, somebody can do that, sleeping late, and still manage to get to bed early the next night, but it's rare. And you want to eliminate Sunday night insomnia from happening. So the same time every day, no matter how you feel, is one of the most important things to help someone have a more balanced circadian rhythm. Another thing, obviously, as I always reference, you want to do good quality work. You want to dig into that emotion. You want to neutralize the cause of the problem using age regression, using forgiveness therapy, using anything you can get your hands on that will neutralize that deep-seated emotion that makes them stay awake at night. However, you want to work with them just on a conversational basis using waking hypnosis techniques. That the idea of sleep wrecking their life is really not rational. Okay. It'll make them feel bad in the short term, but losing sleep here and there is not going to wreck their life. And have them steer their mind away from that thought as much as possible. You know, one of the good things to do if your client has a busy mind, and I'll end with this, is that if they're stressed out, because stress is transient, sometimes it really comes on strong. And sometimes people have real problems that they're trying to figure out. And every once in a while you have somebody that really has it in their head that they have their best ideas at night, okay? Even though most of the time that's not the case. They go, well, I always think of my best ideas. I have my inspiration. What you want to do is say, well, listen, if that's the case, or if you're really worrying about something, what you want to do is this. And you pull out your pad, and you say, I want you to write it all down. Write down all those things that are bugging you. You put them all down on a piece of paper with maybe some solutions to those problems. So you have your problems on one side of the paper, you put your solutions on the other side, and then, you know, maybe a few to-dos the next day. And you say, and I want you to go somewhere in your house, and I want you to open a drawer and put that in the drawer and say, I'll come back to you tomorrow, but I deserve my peaceful, restful sleep. I'll be back. And then you have them close that drawer and go try to sleep then. Because it needs to be an actual action in the physical world. Not only is it a ritual, but it's going to have them not only physically compartmentalize it in an actual real physical compartment, but it's going to create a compartment within the mind and the subconscious mind as well. The symbolism of it, the metaphor of it. For those of you who are into your Ericksonian or NLP-based techniques, that's a metaphor. You need to use that. Put it in action and have them actually do something that has meaning and significance within their mind so they can put those things aside, just those tips to start with. Will already help your client with their insomnia problems before and after the interview. Sometimes, and you know, one of the things you want to do sometimes is, let's say you have a client that is prospecting you. Well, you can give a few of those suggestions away right away. And that will let them know, how much you can help them. You know, if they say, well, listen, I'm shopping around. What you can say is, well, listen, if you're shopping around, or, you know, sometimes they need to think it over. And you give them a few of those suggestions. You say, well, listen, I just want you to know, don't look at your bedroom clock. It's poison. You'll never sleep as long as you look at that bedroom clock. They'll go, oh, really? Well, I always look at it because, you know, no, don't do that. Don't look at your bedroom clock. That's the number one tip that I have for you. And also, you know, take a hot shower. Okay? These little suggestions. That'll increase your value, increase your standing in their mind, and help them hopefully make the right choice and come and see you for that. And, you know, whether they see you or not, you're doing good for people. You're giving them a tip. You're giving them something. Maybe it's that one thing they're doing wrong that's been setting their sleep problem up all along. Okay? So, do your research. Find out what it is with sleep. Putting yourself in the market where you can deal with sleep issues will help you have a good reputation extremely fast. It'll position you in a place where, you know, you can help people with something that will unzip and unravel your life almost faster than any other issue, not sleeping. And also it'll help you have better relationships with other professionals, maybe sleep clinics, that sort of thing. If you know what you're talking about, you can go and offer your services to them, maybe sit down with one of the lead practitioners there. And when you know your stuff about sleep, that'll come across and it'll enable you to have relationships in that community and to deal with this issue. Aside from being a generalist, marketing yourself for sleep services or using that in your networking talk or talking about, you know, people don't normally necessarily associate hypnosis with its ability to help sleep problems. Okay, and so that's something that you might want to touch on. Put that in your brain, file it away, and use all the information that I gave you today. I hope that you've enjoyed watching this video. I've enjoyed giving it to you. And if you want to learn more about how to be a good hypnotherapist, I would take a look at hypnosiscenter.com. We have training schedules about coming to learn 5-Path, coming to learn a systematic approach to help someone work through their problems, learning how to teach and do 7th Path self-hypnosis, which will also give someone the ability to work on themselves as well. They work together. Look at hypnosis.org. We have lots of different training products that you can buy, that you can look into, check into, just to upgrade your skills. Because there's a difference between good and great, and let's move this profession toward greatness. Next time, there's probably going to be Cal Banning with me. It'll be a more interesting episode. Who knows what we'll talk about? So tune in again. Thanks for watching, and thanks for being patient with me, with all my jerky movements. I'm L. Ron Ferguson. signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.